Hey there! Glad you found another episode of We've Read It One Night, your favorite chaotic sisters romance podcast. We're wrapping up our recap of A Court of Wings and Ruin in this episode, joining Feyre, Rhys, and the gang as they go toe-to-toe with the big bad king of twinks himself, Highburn. But don't worry, nobody stays dead, and nobody but Nesta has trauma. Our happy ending is filled with the sounds of the prestigious Velaris children's laughing chorus. Click that 5 stars if you like the episode, and enjoy the show.
So going back to what I already texted you last night, but just for the listeners, those of you outside the U.S., probably know this, but you know how I took now you got into crochet again recently too.
I'm never into crochet. I was a knitter. There's a difference.
I know. Well, you had that like one thing that you started that you like took back up or whatever. Anyway, I first encountered this on like YouTube tutorials of like people with heavy English accents, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Like English is their second language. They're probably just like they've seen this word written down. And they're just like saying it how it looks, like that's fine. The word being crotchet or crocheter instead of crochet and crocheter. Well, and then I started seeing it on like TikTok videos of people who like clearly were speaking English as their first language and were even like Canadian, not even just like British. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like the fucking, yeah, it's the influence of the British. It's like the lieutenant shit all over again. Crotcheter.
I'm a crotcheter. Why do you have to make everything? They have to make everything gross. It's not enough for their food to be gross.
I haven't actually looked this up. Is crochet actually French? It must be, right? Like
it must. There's no way that word's not fucking French.
We could be wrong. It's possible, but it just sounds so much worse.
It's actually not possible for us to be wrong. It's mm-mm. Old Norse and then French and then
French
crochet, okay. mid 19th century from French, diminutive of croc, which means hook.
Is the art of crochet like French? Like, did the French invent crochet? Is that even true? Or do we just like use their word for it?
I feel like crochet existed long before we called it crochet.
That's probably
like
true.
That because crochet, the word came in. Google is telling me crochet, the word came into being in the mid 19th century mm-hmm. was absolutely not when crochet as definitely a skill was invented.
Yeah, it's giving fishing hook.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Fishing hook. Like that's what it. Like I feel like fishing net. Like I feel like if I can, I'm sure it was used for a lot of things. But like I feel like it was definitely used to make fish nets. Like all the knots. Like look at this. This is a blanket, but it could be a fish net.
What? You mean like tight, like fishnet tights?
I'm just saying like. No, I mean like literal fishing nets when people used to fish.
Yeah, I'm confused. What do you think? Like, I feel like that was probably one of the OG uses.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying crochet probably existed way before French people existed, or at least called themselves French people.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not really understanding how you're connecting that to the name fishing net.
Fishnets. I'm not connecting it to the name. I'm saying fishing nets are really old. So crochet probably is really old. It seems like a great way to make fishnets.
Oh, I thought.
I guess they could have just been like tying them by hand.
They definitely, I feel like, tie them by hand.
I could go into the fishnet business. Why? It's so much faster to do crochet.
I don't know. I'm mostly thinking about tying it by hand specifically because I'm rereading the Hunger Games series. And I'm on Mockingjay right now. I'm really tearing through them.
I just realized that I have a survival skill now, as long as I have some like thread and a hook.
Yeah. But okay, well, let me finish my fishing related thing and then I'll expand. So first I'm on Mockingjay and Finnick is like recovering from trauma and he keeps tying knots with this little rope that he has, like, you know, as like a stim coping mechanism, mm-hmm. whatever.
Sure.
And so I was saying Finnick probably knows how to weave a mean fishnet,
mm-hmm.
like pretty easily.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's from like the sea district. District 4 is like the ocean one. So he's like, his like weapon of choice is a trident.
Love it. Beautiful fisherman.
But about the Hunger Games, for all our audiobook aficionado listeners, there are two audiobook editions of the Hunger Games trilogy. And it's interesting to me that they didn't do something like this for Twilight. And I guess it's because they knew that Ileana Kadushin couldn't be topped. But basically, there's like the original, like when it was released, audiobook Hunger Games. And then they did a movie tie-in edition, but it's not Jennifer Lawrence narrating it. It's this actress named Tatiana something. She was in that show Orphan Black, where she played like 8 different characters. Oh, she was also in She-Hulk. I knew she was in something more recent. She played She-Hulk on Disney Plus.
What the fuck is a She-Hulk? That's really silly.
It's like the Hulk, but a girl.
Absolutely.
And she's a lawyer.
Right. They decided we could call it She-Hulk. Why not Shulk?
You're right.
So did you like my Yip Yap? I had to sew stuff for the inside. I made a little sack.
Oh, you made that? I thought that was just a picture you found online.
No, I made it. I know. Doesn't it look really good?
Wow.
I know. I had to like poke holes in ping pong balls with an awl and everything. But anyway, yeah, I know. And I sewed the lining on the inside out of fabric and everything. I had to like measure and everything.
Wow.
I know.
Finally putting to use the skills they taught us in home ec.
See, and no, they really didn't. They really didn't teach me any, like, and they really should have. Like, I feel like I have had to hand sew before, like, for print. I don't know if I was ever, like, probably like Baba Tommy or something. But in middle school, they jumped right to the sewing machine. And like, honestly, wow, I can move myself around on the Zoom thing accidentally. But they really should have started by making us hand sew something like pretty big to like, give us like a true appreciation for what an innovation the sewing machine is. Because the way that I think of sewing machines is like they're really annoying to use and like complicated and hard and like finicky, yeah. But like they definitely are. Like if you set us up as like the comparison is having to hand sew like a giant seam or two.
Yeah.
And then you do it with the machine. Like I'd have been willing to put up with a lot more of like threading and tangled and like hitting metal pins and stuff.
I feel like no. Okay, so first of all, what they should have done is hand sew, and then they should have graduate like bumped us up to like the pedal powered sewing machine, like the OG like mechanical sewing machine, and then they like give us an electric one to like really show how good we've got it.
And then like your fear of like the hitting the pins is like totally wiped away by like your foot. Lack of foot soreness.
Exactly. Shall we begin on A Court of Wings and Ruin, part three by Sarah J. Maas. This is a book that Rachel and I both finished approximately like 2 hours before the podcast.
Okay, so part three. Elaine hatches a harebrained scheme to go to her ex-boyfriend's house, who like hates fairies, to ask him to protect the humans because she wants him to take her back.
This part is called High Lady, part three. This is like actually part three of the book. And it's called High Lady. And I was like, so will Feyre finally do something? And the answer is no.
Well, I realized by the end of this, she does finally do something though. Like ostensibly you have
but
to be
high. But she still spends like every single battle, like standing on a hill, just watching.
Yeah, and like why? Yeah, why? Yeah, why? Is that ever explained? I was like, I didn't know if I missed something.
I think
there was like some reason, like she's fragile. Well, she's never been trained in battle lines.
It's maybe because it's because she like isn't trained enough to like be in the thick of it. But then like half like before like the final battle or something, she's like talking to Reese and she's like, yeah, after watching it, like I'm not ready for like that kind of battle. Like I'm okay with like the fight for Velaris or whatever because it's like spontaneous, but like. And I was like, she says okay.
That, but she says that like after she was already in the battle, you know. Maybe Sarah just didn't want to write that many battle scenes, which like respected. They are boring. She still does boldly write them, but like not from Ferris. She can write about other things too.
Thinking about Throne of Glass, literally at least 50% of that book, if not more, is battle scenes of Kingdom of Ash, the last book. And they were entertaining. I was like, Sarah, I know that you can write a battle scene. Like, why isn't Feyre fighting? Like, I know you're good at this.
Yeah, there's just, maybe she wanted to, like, write other things, too, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, she wanted to do a Mind TV. Feyre is just constantly hopping into different people's perspectives so that we can get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did you notice this, Rachel, at the very beginning of this part, which once again, I emphasize is called High Lady. They're at the Illyrian war camp. And immediately Fair is like, we didn't want to push it with them. So the girls and I like fell back and let the men talk. Like, even yeah, though I'm I the did. High Lady, we didn't want to push it.
No, I was like, I know. I know, it just feels like unnecessary. It does make sense in story, though. Like,
no, I know, but I was like, okay, so that's the answer to my question.
Like, does Rhys have any of his own armies? Or is, like, why is he having to beg for like, his subjects' armies, like, from the Night Court and from the Illyrians?
Well, I don't think he has to beg the Illyrians. I think he just goes and he's like, move out. We're going.
Mm, okay, so they like are his army. Does he have like any other armies?
Or
like
made and then up he of also has the Dark people? Bringers.
Okay, because we like never. Well, which are the Night Court, right?
Yeah, the Court of Nightmares.
Right. So like, yeah, but they don't. Sorry, that's what I mean. The Court of Nightmares, but they like don't have to help him, which is wild.
Yes.
Does he have anyone else that's like actually his? Like, it's kind of weird that like
he has more who he sends in when Cassian and Azrael have been taken. The power is born truth.
Like, what? No, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's kind of weird the Illyrians are just, like, they're the only, like, species that's, like, I don't know, also expected to fight. Like, I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where are the, yeah. Are the children laughing in the streets because they're the only one whose parents don't have to go to battle? Like, it's kind of weird. It's like he has, like, a zoo of, like, happy people and, like, everyone else doesn't get to be happy. It's like the Giver.
It's true. It's like he has like a little snow globe of Valaris, mm-hmm. and then everybody else mm-hmm. is like banging against the glass, like, mm-hmm. please, we're starving. Yeah. We're being tortured out here.
Sorry, we have to preserve this nice place. Yeah.
Children are laughing. Can't you hear?
Yeah. Too bad your children can't be laughing.
Yeah. For the greater good.
Yeah, your children must cry so that these children can laugh.
It's like Monsters, Inc.
For the greater good, like, yeah.
Some of our system is powered by children's tears so that the rest of it can be powered by children's laughter.
Wait, what?
Like Monsters, Inc. The plot of Monsters, Inc. is they have to scare their human children. Yes, and then they discover at the end that it's actually laughter is actually a lot more powerful.
Right. So they start the laughter.
Yeah, so I'm saying Rhys is in the beginning of Monsters, Inc. He's like, we power our city with children's fear. But we disguise it by playing the laugh track, the child laugh track for the Valaris hidden speaker system.
Oh my god. I actually rewatched that recently. It really does hold up.
Monsters, Inc.?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. I've been like badly surprised by a bunch of different movies, you know.
Yeah, but like,
I wasn't questioning it actively. That's a good point. That's true.
Have you ever been, you know, by a Pixar movie?
I don't think so.
I feel like no.
I don't think let down. I don't think so. But How I Lose a Guy in 10 Days, tragique.
Oh, I always hated that movie, but that's just because Matthew McConaughey is sweaty and in it. He's in his sweaty self.
Peddling drugs. Okay, so we find ourselves in Elaine's asshole ex. Elaine is very stoic about the whole thing. She's like, it's already ended badly. Now we just have to see how we meet the consequences.
When they go visit Grayson, they're like, Elaine, we're going to glamour you so you kind of look more human. So like to try to like smooth the way. And they're like, can you keep the vision stuff to yourself? Like, make sure you keep it to yourself. Like when we're at his house. Like, can you do that? And she's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like, so you've just been making the choice to be creepy?
To be an asshole, yeah. Like, you've just chosen
to be weird.
I mean, some of her stuff is useful. Like, maybe.
Yes, but she doesn't even explain it. She just says stuff, like, cryptically. Instead of being like, guys, I'm having a vision. Two ravens. Like, but, like.
Yeah.
Like, so you could have not done that the whole time. And you chose not to.
Or at least done it a little more usefully. Though that's not clear. She could have. We find out that the asshole ex, like, not only hates fairies, he also hates Nesta, which is, like, so bold.
Red flag.
No, I know. Well, it's a red flag, like, of course, I mean, he saw the ex sucks, like, sure. But on Elaine's part, like, what is wrong with her? Like, she Elaine won't has even, no loyalty. I don't know, she just, like, sucks so much. Yeah.
She has no loyalty whatsoever. She does not give a shit. Nesta would literally die for her. Vera has almost died for her on multiple occasions. And she would not do the same. Like, no loyalty. Absolutely not. If Grayson popped in the final battle and was like, hello, was Elaine. Like,
I'll take you back.
If you again.
You know, if he was like, I'll take you back if you like, murder your sisters.
Yeah. She would.
At this point.
I have no doubt.
I know.
But you so know bold. Who is not a traitor? Jurian. Because if there's one thing this man knows how to do, it's make an entrance. It's make an entrance.
No one could have seen
coming. Never once does Sarah have this man enter in a normal way. It's always like they're talking and then like the door opens and in comes Jurian. Like, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're all like, oh my God.
She's like, I feel the world sliding out from beneath my feet. I can't wrap my head around this. Even though Jurian's literally just been like pulling a Reese. He's been doing what like Reese has been doing for no reason. Except like there's a very clear motive for Jurian to be doing it, you know, like.
And he's like, Reese, he's like, I swear to God, Reese, like, I thought you were just going to look into my mind and like see what was happening. And Reese, to be fair, was like, I didn't want to see Amarantha, which I was like, okay, fine. But
fair?
I was also like, again, why are you assuming?
Useless. Yeah.
Why are you assuming that you are the only people who are capable of coming up with this relatively straightforward ploy?
To be fair, if I were Jurian, I'd be really fucking pissed that no one tried to help me with that eye situation for like the past 500 years. Like,
yeah.
Maybe they're like, okay, fair. He hates us. Fair. Like,
fair enough.
It's just so bold. Yeah.
But even later in the battle, when Miriam and Draken show up, they get explicitly told that Jurian is on the good with the good guys. They're like, Jurian's on our side. And yet, flash forward like two chapters, Feyre's like, you know, doing her sightseeing of the battle, and Miriam and Draken are fighting Jurian. I was like, there are real enemies to be had.
Wait, what?
And you fuckers are fighting, and Mor has to like come in and break things up. I was like,
I thought they hashed that out off screen, not like during the battle.
Like it's just like a paragraph. It's like a paragraph when Feyre is doing her little like over, like flyover of the battle.
Oh, why are they mad at him again?
Because he was allegedly like hunting them to get revenge.
Well, allegedly,
Miriam
but did
is
he
his
ever
ex-girlfriend?
But did that ever actually happen, or was it just like what they were told recently?
No,
was that based in fact before? I feel like
I think that like when Miriam broke up with him, he was upset, but I don't think he actually like. I don't think he like tried to kill her when she broke up with him the first time. Like
It's giving like Tamlin arc.
It's silly. It just seems silly.
Yeah, I don't know. It is really silly. So they're trying to convince like Grayson, Elaine's asshole ex, and his dad to like hide the humans, like finally convince them to do that.
Can I just say like his name is Grayson? Like second there, I was kind of rooting for Elaine and Grayson. Like I knew that they were gonna end up together, but I was just like, oh, I don't know. Like it'd be kind of interesting, like human fairy, whatever. And then I was that's why. I actually never want. Like, there was, like, for a second, I was like, Elaine can just go live with the humans, with only person that she's loyal to.
It was going to be like, oh, I don't actually hate fairies. It's, like, my dad.
No,
dad.
I thought he what? I knew he was going to, like, reject her and be like, I don't like fairies. But I forgot how much of a dick he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't remember him being this horrible.
Yeah, because he's like, I hate you. Like, I don't want your heart. He's not even like, oh, I'm sorry this happened to you. Like, I know you didn't want this.
Yeah. And I was like, God, listen, of course. Of course, the only thing that's going to put me in Elaine's corner is like uniting against a man who is an asshole. Like, if there's anything that's going to change me.
Yeah. Jurian tells them that Tamlin allegedly like went right back to Highburn after the High Lord's meeting. So at this point, they think that Tamlin still like sucks or whatever,
but like once again, like
no investigation
of like perchance he's spying.
Right. I don't know what. And that is really nice that no one ever thinks anyone else is spying on them. It makes the whole spy master thing a lot easier. That's how Azrael's been succeeding all these years. No one ever thinks that anyone else could ever possibly be a spy. That's just like.
They're so stupid.
So then they.
Yeah, it's battle time.
They go to the fucking battle. Yeah. Just a few things here. Just like passing comments that they're Karina's constantly making comments about how like they're making the soldiers do menial tasks to like avoid grumbling and boredom, which is really bold. Also, they like put the anti-Thebane thing in their gruel. Why are they feeding them gruel? Like that's really bold.
What, because I don't know what that is. Because are barely better than animals.
Right. But like anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the battle happens.
Lisa, may I have some more? Girl.
Vera's like inexplicably sitting out. Maybe because she's like not trained to fight in a battalion.
Vera and more.
And more.
Vera more, the third in command of the Night Court.
Is babysitting Vera. And Vera,
the high lady, is just sitting on a hill.
Right. Watching.
And Vera's like, oh, I'll paint this someday.
She got so many different times. Sarah's really committed to keeping the Sarah and Vera rhyme. I just realized. Sarah's really committed to keeping the painting gimmick going. I don't think Vera actually paints anything in this entire book, though. Thank God.
No, she does.
She's just constantly open like up storing things away.
She opens up a paint an art studio for like PTSD people. So like that's nice.
It is nice.
She teaches them how to draw stick
that people
figures.
Have PTSD. Yeah.
Did you see that reel that someone sent?
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of it is just the millennial S, the Superman S, just like all of that would be me.
Sarah, it's for Villar S.
That's the most. There's two V's at the top and bottom of the S. V for Villar. She's like, actually, look, it contains all the letters.
It starts with V's and it ends in S, just like Villaris. Does it actually contain all the letters? That would be interesting.
Feyre would make an argument that it did.
I'd make an argument that it did. So they win this battle. And then
I was like, skip over that.
A bunch of the soldiers surrender. And for some reason, Tarquin, our like homeboy, nice buddy, like alleged up until this point, like jolly golden retriever Tarquin, is in charge of deciding what happens to the survivors.
Because they're at the summer court. They're on his territory.
And he drowns them on dry land.
Which is so cool.
I was going to say it's so bold to be drowning prisoners of war. Like, it's like, talk about the like menial moat digging tasks and the gruel. But like, I feel like nothing can be worse for your own soldiers. Like, you're really screwing them over, your own grunts, if you like kill the other prisoners. Because what's going to happen to them? I guess it's like established that Highburn isn't nice to prisoners of war. I guess maybe they started
that's the thing, is that really if there's one thing Sarah's going to do, it's not give any nuance to enemy soldiers. Like, they are all baddies and they all need to be killed.
She really does commit to that. Sarah's constantly surprised anytime they have like any level of like
humanity. Nuance.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
She's like, wow, I didn't realize they could think. Yeah.
I thought this was cool, and maybe it's because Avatar The Last Airbender is especially on my mind right now because the live action came out on Netflix, which I haven't watched yet, but I've seen TikToks about it. But Tarquin drowning them was like, it was like so bloodbending coded. And I was just like, that's why I thought it was so, I was like, it's so fucking metal. Like, that's so like, drowning on dry land is literally the cool, like Reese could never.
The cool it? That's okay. That's awful. It's my like greatest fear.
Reese like mists
I'm sorry.
People. He like makes them explode into little like particles of blood, which is cool. But frankly, it's nowhere near as metal. Like making people explode is like that's old hat. I could do that with a stick of dynamite. Drowning people on dry land, that is cool. It's fucked up, but it's
clearly
cool.
You've never like had the like intrusive thought spiral about dry drowning in your childhood.
No, Rachel, I'm just saying from a magic power standpoint.
I don't know. I feel like it makes him into a baddie.
It's,
I'm waiting. I'm
fucking cool.
I'm anticipating Tarquin's villain arc at this point. Like, this is absolutely evil. This is evil, Lord. Oh, mark my words. This is evil overlord behavior. Tarquin is about to become an enemy.
No, I'm
sorry. You don't drown people on dry land and remain the good guy, the sunny sunshine
not
summer
when Reese
good guy.
Spent like a whole book being sad that he wouldn't be his friend.
Well, too bad.
Finally,
Reese.
Friends.
Yeah. Well, too bad. Anyway, yeah, it's just really bold to kill prisoners of war. There has to be some, maybe there's some strategy part of that I'm not thinking of, but yeah. So, okay, so next battle, Thera and Mora once again not fighting. I still don't know why. But Thera's back on.
What? Sorry, before we get to the once again, the hillside, I just want to point out that Nesta and Cassian do have a moment, and she only cares that he's safe. And when she sees him, she's the only one that knows that he's hurt. He's hurt and he's hiding it. And she's like, "You're hurt. Someone go get me a goddamn ice pack and some bandages." And then she bandages up and she's tending him, and it's very cute. And then it's ruined by more cockblock McGee over here runs in, and Cassian fucking takes his hand, like, immediately out of Nesta's and like goes to hang out with Mor. And so now Cassian's on my shit list. I was like, you and Nesta were having such a fucking tender moment. That is your mate. What are you doing going to hang out with the girl that you fucked 500 years ago? What is this?
I still talk about it as if it's like modern history. It's really silly. Like later on when Mor, we'll get into that.
Exactly.
Yeah, very silly. Yeah. So battle number two, Thera is back on her serial hunting bullshit. She like lies to Mor and says that Mor should go fight.
Finally goes Mor into the battle when they're losing. Mor is
literally just there to like babysit Thera.
Yeah.
Which is really silly.
Yeah.
And Thera's like, time to go find the serial again.
Gotta get the tea.
Yeah. But I don't need to trap it this time. Like, now we're good. We're homies.
Wait, but she uses Elaine to help her find out where the serial is. So she can go right to it. And since when is that part of the seer power package? Like, what a random, why the fuck can Elaine find the cereal?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
She don't question it. She can see things. And the cereal then like gives her answers without getting like any kind of like trap or gift or whatever.
Because the cereal's her BFF.
Yeah,
they're best
true.
Friends.
True. Homegirls. And she's there to ask it where Highburn's army is hidden. And the serial tells her that Nesta can find it.
Why? Why can Nesta find it, Rachel? Because?
Like, cause to, like, drink. But Thera's, like, shocked by this, even though, like, I don't know. I just feel like
they've established this so many times.
I know.
They can all. She's made, Nesta's made. Right. All of the made people can be do it. Maybe it's specifically because Nesta took from the cauldron.
Or because Nesta's,
so she
like,
specifically
made it,
has, like, cauldron juice in her, not just, like, regular magic juice.
That's great. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then it tells her that, like, the spell to stop the cauldron will, like, kill Thera if she does it by herself.
Which is so, like, also a big plot point in the Throne of Glass series. And I was like, Sarah, are we just recycling the same thing? Like,
right, whatever.
Someone's got to die to, like, restore the magical. She's like, you know what?
Once.
It got me on the New York Times bestseller list once, and it's going to do it again.
Exactly.
And she's right.
The cereal can't see Bryaxis, the, like, library monster, because it's quote, not of this world. Yeah, but why can it see, like, the Ouroboros, the Weaver, Amarin, like, all of these things are essentially not of this world either.
Wait, can it see the Weaver and the
Bone
Carver?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
Tell us about the Ouroboros, and I'm assuming that belongs to the Weaver.
I don't know. I don't know whether it belongs to the Weaver or whether she just liked
it. Yeah. So Ianthe fucking shows up with some ash arrows and, like, shoots the cereal, which is very
so
mean.
So sad.
And cool. Why can't Thera just winnow away with the cereal? I guess she's, like, used up a lot of her power at this point, but, like, later on she can winnow. Like,
she's constantly drained, and I don't understand, because I'm like, what are you doing? She's
right.
constantly, like, collapsing, like, flopping down on her bed at night and be like, I'm so, wow. Oh my god, today drained
today
me.
Drained me. I think
I'm like, what did you do?
Right before this, they weave like an illusion and make it look like their army was one place. And,
oh yeah, I guess
it was actually another.
Okay,
which
so she,
was,
maybe she
ends
did
up
that.
Being which ends up being pointless, but whatever.
Yeah, so she did that.
They
yeah. So. So, okay, so
sitting
let this be a
hill.
Lesson.
Listen, as from a former lifeguard, it can be really draining to sit all day.
It's true.
Actually, I'm doing nothing. Yeah.
It's true, yeah. So let this be a lesson to everyone. What do we do? Listen, this is what Tarquin taught us. What do, Rachel? Do we spare our enemies? No, we kill them so that they don't pop up at random times and
like
kill
daisies.
Our best skeleton friends.
Like in Kill Bill.
If she just killed Ianthe, none of this would have happened.
That's a great point, actually. So, yeah. So instead of winnowing away with the cereal, and which again, unclear, is there something about
maybe
ash?
Maybe because she has can't, ash like, arrows. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like because it has ash in her. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I decided the cereal is a girl. Like, that seems right.
She is.
So Farrah instead, like, runs down the forest. They're in the middle. We didn't say the middle, the, like, spooky forest in the middle of Prithian or whatever the fuck. And she leads them into the weaver's cottage and, like, somehow shuts them in there without getting eaten by the weaver first, which is unclear.
Honestly, metal as fuck. Great for her.
How did Farrah disguise herself the first time she went to the weaver's?
I think she just, like, slipped in and was, like, really quiet.
Okay. Interesting.
I think that's all you have to do. I think as long as you're, like, really quiet and you don't, like, touch any of her shit, she's kind of like, oh, is there someone there? But, like, she doesn't know. But, like, Ianthe was just, like, for some reason, Ianthe doesn't know about the weaver. Just seems sus. And so she's, like, shit-talking outside the door.
Yeah, that is, Ianthe's been around the block for a while. It's very odd. Anyway, she shuts them in there with her, goes back to the cereal. She still can't fucking save the cereal. She's really sad.
Yeah, Sarah's got me crying over some spooky, scary skeleton. Like, what
is it the only one around? Is there no other cereal?
No, because the cereal is like a
title. What
it's the type of thing. It's like the type of being that it is.
Right. So
it's
like
a cereal.
Right.
So where are the other cereals? Is it like The Last Dinosaur?
Maybe it's a title and there's only like one.
No, it's a cereal. Because in the beginning they say you have to catch a cereal.
Oh, like Lucian says that.
But this specific cereal just really likes Farrah. So like
it's the one that like shows up for her. Absolutely. And the way that Ianthe found the cereal is like the last time Ianthe caught it to ask it questions and then it wouldn't tell her answers, which I think was bold. So I thought it like had to do that. I thought that was like, maybe Lucian like totally made that up.
Maybe it can be super cryptic, like you know, like it doesn't it gets to decide how much like detail it gives you.
Okay. But she gave it a cloak with like a tracking spell on it, and Farrah's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And Cereal's like, no, don't, it's fine, it's cool, like I knew the spell had a tracking thing on it, but I came anyway. And it's like, why, first of all, why? Because then that screws over Farrah too. Third of all, second of all, why did it just take off the fucking cloak?
It can't, I think, until it gets a new cloak.
Oh.
Someone's got to give it a new cloak.
Well, then why didn't it just, like, answer someone else's question in between that Ianthe didn't care about?
Rachel, how many people do you think are hunting down this spooky skeleton?
I don't know. Like, it seems gossip pretty, queen? It seems pretty useful.
Yeah, but apparently it tries to eat everybody but Farrah.
Oh, well, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, so Farrah gets back to camp and she's like, hey guys. And they're like, why the fuck did you not tell anyone where you were going? And they're all very mad at her.
Really bold. They all constantly are doing that. Helion guy finds her.
They blame Nesta too, but Nesta's not a snitch. Props to Nesta for not being a snitch. Nesta knew where Feyre was going to go, but she's like, I'm not going to tell anyone. Fuck you, she's guys.
Loyal. Yeah.
Unlike Elaine, you know who would have told Elaine?
That's so true. Or maybe not, because she'd just be too dumb, but like, Feyre would have like told her to tell and she would have like forgotten.
She would just be like, spooky, scary skeletons shiver down my spine. They would be like, what?
We forgot to say that before the cereal dies, it's like, leave this world a better place than you left it, than you found it, and like sleep the High Lord. And Farrah's like, oh, the cereal is a dreamer.
Oh.
I think that I'm, what's that song, The Dreamer?
You might say I'm a dreamer.
I'm a dreamer.
But I'm not the only one.
Is that the tune of that song? That's the right word.
I think so. Isn't that John Lennon?
Sounds right.
It's like Believe right. or something. Yeah.
If you just
No, that's a completely different song. That's Josh Groban. That's Christmas classic got Josh Groban. Come on, Rachel, give me the fucking program.
Oh, it's time for Amber and Varian to reunite. Varian being Tarquin's BFF dude. And when they walk away, they, quote, are emitting noises, unnervingly, like, purring.
Excellent. Mm. Wonderful. And now it's time for Feyre to be a little bit homophobic, unknowingly, in that she heard Mor is like, why didn't you tell me you left? And Feyre's like, why do you keep stringing along Asriel? As if that is in any way, like, equivalent.
Well, and I still, at this point, I totally forgot about, like, the later conversation. I still don't even understand, like, what is being alluded to between, like, Mor and Asriel and Cassian. Like, I don't even get it. I guess she explains later on, but, like, I just, like, don't even know, like, what. Yeah, like, it's really, they just seem to be, like, living, like, 500-year-old drama.
For no reason.
Mm-mm.
Because everyone, basically, everyone is afraid of hurting Asriel's feelings.
Right.
And it feels like a lot of problems could be solved.
Right, like, really unnecessarily. Right.
And also, how does Asriel not know the truth when he's, like, he's got a magical emotional support sword called Truth Teller? Like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Do the shadows not tell him the truth? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. Yeah.
So, Nessa scries. She finds to find the cauldron.
Yeah. Nessa scries and finds out where the fucking army is or whatever. And then, but that means, like, that the cauldron can see her too for some reason.
Yeah. Because Feyre pops up too. And the cauldron's like, girls, it's party time.
Mm-hmm. And, like, follows them back and it tricks Elaine into following it.
And why? Somehow. What does it do,
because
Rachel?
It makes her see, like, Grayson showing up and being like, come back, I'll turn you back into a human.
Immediate. No questions asked. This bitch immediately abandons her family,
mm-hmm.
who has saved her life on numerous occasions,
mm-hmm.
to walk into the woods with her bitch ass boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, but the reason that she does this, and this doesn't make sense considering what the cauldron does later on, but apparently the reason the cauldron takes Elaine is because it, like, looked into Nesta's mind and it, like,
wait,
saw
it doesn't make
what,
sense,
like,
later. Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Saw what Nesta hated most. So, like,
it loved took, most. Yeah.
Yeah. Or loved, like, what meant the most to Nesta. So, mm-hmm. like, took. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then it doesn't. Yeah.
It doesn't make
sense.
So
they're like, we got to rescue Elaine for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Why they
so Feyre pretends to be Ianthe by using her, like, dregs of her remaining reserves of power that for some reason are still dregs, and goes into the war camp and, like,
and she's wearing a bunch of bracelets and she jangles them, quote, like a cat with a bell on its collar,
mm-hmm.
to, like,
mm-hmm.
for some reason
show
that's
Ianthe
how
is, like, a
walks.
Pet or whatever. Yeah. She, of course, immediately sees, like, a human that she needs to rescue also, and runs into Jurian, and, like, they finagle, like, finds out where Elaine's being hidden, like, gets her, like, pretty easily, honestly. And then the hounds are upon them. Everyone has hounds in this book for some reason.
That these hounds are, like, the Nagaa.
Mm-hmm.
But,
or,
like,
they can, like, cooler. Yeah, they're, like, really good at tracking. But, like, Grayson and his dad have hounds, too, that, like, are somehow trained to hunt fairies. Unclear how.
Yeah, so they rescue Elaine and they get the girl.
But Tamlin comes to the rescue.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you mean they're still on their way out of camp.
They're on their way out. The girl, by the way, is named Briar, and I was like, wow, what a deep Beauty and the Beast cut, Sarah.
Mm.
Like, what a real callback, tying everything together here.
We ever hear from her again?
No. But there's a lot of fan theories about her.
What do you mean?
Like, there's fan theories that she's, because there's, like, a character in Throne of Glass that's named Briar, and they're like, Sarah would never reuse names, and the character in Throne of Glass is, like, one of the witches, and, like, so they think that this random human is a witch, but also, like, how the fuck, you know what I mean? It's like, what happens to her? She goes to the Winter Court. This girl goes to the Winter Court, and then we never see her
why
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they have fluffy animals.
Yeah, and I think it's okay. So when Feyre sees her, she's, like, strung up between, like, two of her dead friends, and they're like cut up and shit. The way that Claire better, you know, the like horrible way that the Hybern does. But then, like, once they rescue her, she's able to, like, walk around and, like, offer to help heal and stuff. So, like, yeah, I don't know. Unclear. Is it more like she's crucified without any actual wounds, but, like, she's gonna die from, like, asphyxiation once her lungs?
Yes. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
But
so, yeah, Beast Boy Tamlin helps him escape.
Yeah, which is nice of him. And then he escapes, absconds into the night.
Beast Boy, Tam, and Templin. Pharah has to fly. They gotta jump off a cliff in order to, like, winnow in midair. And Pharah's gotta fucking fly. Mm. So she flies. And literally, this is just so, like... Like, Tamlin sends, like, a wind after her to, like, help her. And it's so, like, she jumps, like, I believe I can fly.
It actually, like, well, it's, like, it's like in A Bug's Life when he jumps off the cliff of Ant Island, flying off on his pedal to, like, I forget why. But
I only vaguely remember.
And the bird at the, oh, yeah, like, at the, well, yeah, I watched it kind of recently. And when the bird is, like, chasing them. I don't know. Why not?
I don't know. You keep rewatching all these, like, random.
Why did you watch the Princess and the Frog?
I haven't watched it recently.
Just like you're watching Princess and the Frog.
It's
just such
a good movie. I haven't watched it recently. I haven't watched it probably since college.
Hmm.
It's just really stuck in my mind.
I believe. Anyway,
I got hit by the ice cream guy.
So then more. Okay.
All I wanted was a popsicle.
Every night and day.
I ended up in the hospital.
He said, fuck you. Moore is so shaken up by Farrah's, you know, latest brush with death that she's like, comes after her and she's like, I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have yelled at you, blah, blah. My gift is truth, but I've been living a lie. And that lie is that she likes girls. She doesn't like Asriel that way at all. And instead of just telling him that, she's like, has this convoluted scheme of, like, sometimes sleeping with men just to, like, which is kind of like, this is really like,
this is giving, you know what it's giving? Like, I understand, but it's giving the Kristen Stewart Christmas movie. It's giving the shitty girlfriend in the Kristen Stewart Christmas movie is what it's giving.
Wait, why?
Just what, like, in terms of, like, instead of just telling people that you care about, like, you're just being a fucking cunt.
Right. Like, I don't understand. Like, this, it seems, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, as far as resolutions to, like, again, unclear of Asriel, like, after all of this, like, he shouldn't have been, like, pining, making her uncomfortable all these years. But, like, as far as resolutions to, like, why someone's not into you, I feel like telling him, like, yeah, I'm just, like, not really into dudes, like, that's, like, the kind of nicest thing that, like, you know what I mean? That's, like, the least personally hurtful way to do it. Or not, you know what I mean? Not that he even should be hurt by her just being, like, I'm not attracted to you. But, like.
Yeah. But there's also, like, fairy homophobia and, like, when she,
well,
like,
she doesn't want anyone. She doesn't want anyone to know. But, like, does she really not think that Asriel can keep a secret? Asriel, like, is the king of secrets. Like, I'm sorry. He would have been able to deal with that. Like, he wouldn't have been telling people. Like, I believe that he would have not, at least not intentionally. Like, I don't think he would have been dick enough to do it on purpose, and he would have done it unintentionally.
So at the end of the day, like, in that whole scenario, like, Asriel is the problem, because, like,
for sure,
even if she doesn't outright say, I'm not into you, after 500 years of it being incredibly obvious, you need to just take the hint stop being a creep. But Moore is gay. More importantly, Rachel,
her gift is truth.
The truth is that the Winter Court does have armored polar bears. They do have polar bears in their army. We don't get confirmation. They don't ride them necessarily, but the polar bears are there, and they do wear armor, and they do look very smart, that Pharah would not be surprised if they could talk. So I'm so happy that Sarah did not fail me on that front.
And that is important.
That is very important. And then they winnow all the humans out of danger.
Yeah, they do. And, like, and at first, like, they're like, oh, yeah, the first family, like, we were able to convince them and, like, whatever. But the second family, like, Reese tried to sue them, but they just, like, were so hysterical that we just had to, like, winnow them against their will. Like, I'm sorry, what is Reese's, like, yeah, what exactly is Reese's mind power? He can apparently, like, mind control people, but he can't, like, sue the bunch of humans. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Like, whatever.
Also, like, does consent really matter when you're saving them from a guy that's, like, trying to blow up the countryside?
Right. Yeah.
Just don't waste time. You're wasting time.
I know. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Unclear. So then it's, like, their last night together, TM, but Pharah decides it's time to finally go get the Ouroboros, because, like she wants to have not just Bryaxis, the library monster, but also the bone carver. And so she goes and she has her Mirror of Erised moment, because what the Ouroboros shows you is like what you truly are, and what she is like a snake panther thing
beast. I frankly, in my head, it's always the exact same beast form as Tamlin. Like that's just
really?
I know like that's definitely not what it's supposed to be, but in my head, like there's like this one specific fan art of Tamlin in his beast form, and I just picture that anytime there's like a weird beast that like I don't really know what it is.
See, now I'm just picturing like a black like jaguar thing with like scale, like almost like armored scales on its back, and like maybe a little like scorpion tail, snake tail.
But once again, I was like, look, a friend. Like, why is it? Why would this drive her mad? It's a friend,
right? I know. Like, I don't. And she's like apparently the only person ever to be able to look at this without going insane.
And then it doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And she gives it, and now she's able to like summon it at will, which is kind of cool. Like honestly, she should be using this.
Which is
to,
what
like...
Nesta can do with like the Dread Trove later on.
Cool.
Like hers.
Well, and I just feel like she could have been using this mirror. Like, I guess she gives it to the Bone Carver. I don't know, unclear if she can still summon it or if he gets to keep it then, but like shouldn't she could have been using this as like a weapon. Like if it really makes people
like,
insane.
What is
like,
it?
Show
use...
this,
right,
show this to like... your enemies.
Yeah, what does it do besides show you a beastie form?
That's it. And like the Weaver used to look into it and not go crazy. Like I said, she would be like all powerful.
Maybe that's why she eats people.
Maybe. I mean, she was always like that.
Yeah, so she brings in the Bone Carver, and the Bone Carver is like, oh, I don't need this. I just wanted to see if you were worthy. And she gets so angry. And I was like, listen.
It's the same shit that Reese did to you.
It's fair. Like, that's fair.
What's fair
that
he did it,
that he asked for that, yeah, that he is,
well,
like this is
it's
my
also
price.
The same shit that Reese did with the ring and the Weaver.
Yeah
So now they're like facing the army. It's actually really bold. I realized that like Hybern's army is allegedly ostensibly stronger than like all five of the High Lords and their armies. How many High Lords are there total? Like seven.
How fucking big is Hybern? Because Hybern's an island,
right?
So how fucking big is it?
I guess they don't like hide some of their children and let them laugh. They all have to be so soldiers. That's what it takes.
That true is commitment. How Valaris makes its money, right? So like it's a prospering like trade city. It's got a port. It exports laugh tracks because nobody else has them.
Yeah, what's the explanation for Valaris being a port city and still staying hidden? Do they just think it's coming from like Thin Night Court?
I think people like forget where they got it, like the details. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Bold.
I don't know.
But they like could stay if they wanted.
I guess. Yeah. Azriel gives Elaine his emotional support knife, truth teller. He's like, here, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do anything with this. You're just going to sit on this hill, but you can halt this. It brings me comfort when I cuddle with it at night.
Which is really silly. Also, yeah, then so like Bryaxis and the Carver show up as expected, but then also the Weaver shows up because Reese like secretly to Pharaoh like had them go get her. And Bryaxis and the Carver's also a surprise to Reese. Like, why are they constantly? Is it just, I guess it's like a narrative device, but like you could make it seem like Reese, so we don't know, but like why are they like doing this secretly? Like, why are they keeping
doing this to each other? Like, I feel like it's never, this keeps
it makes
like
it impossible to plan. Is it because they're worried that like they need the motivation? Like, everyone's got to keep the terror, or they won't like try as hard. Like, I don't know. It's just like,
it doesn't make any sense.
No,
it doesn't make any sense. Also, Amarin has to wear child sized armor.
Which is really silly. I didn't realize she was supposed to be that small. Like, why is she so small?
Why are they making armor for children?
Right. Well, yeah, it comes from Hybern. We're the children.
It comes from the ones
in the land of child
don't
soldiers.
Get recruited. They don't make it into the like elite laugh track corps.
Right. So now like Farrah and Amarin are off to go like try. So the original scheme, as I understood it, was that all four of them, like Nesta, Vera, Elaine, and Amarin, were going to go, like, touch the cauldron and disable it together because it would take all four of them, so none of them would go insane. But then for some reason, that scheme is out the window and only Vera and Amarin are heading off. Like, what happens there?
I think it's because so Hybern's using the cauldron to just zap a bunch of the army, and the bone carver dies, and that's very sad. And the weaver, who is his sister, is upset about it. But so basically they're like, shit, we have to distract Hybern because he's like using the cauldron. We have to get him like away from the cauldron. And so Nesta's like, I'm gonna go basically stand on a faraway hill and go nanny nanny boo boo to Hybern, and then he's gonna come after me. And then Feyre and Amarin are gonna like disable the cauldron.
Elaine, what's Elaine gonna do? Just see?
She's gonna hold truth telling. That's what she's gonna do.
Because Azrael's not allowed to fight, also, we didn't say. Because his like,
oh yeah, because he got injured rescuing. For some reason. Yeah.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. See, the wings always seem like kind of a liability. Like they're constantly arrows put through them. They're a huge target. literal giant target.
They are literally a giant target. They like increased your target space by like
your surface double. Area. Yeah.
But before Amarin and Feyre hang out, go off, Mirren and Draken appear. And they're like, sorry, guys. Our little Velaris spell worked too well. And you guys all thought that we weren't on the island, but we were. But don't worry, we showed up. And guess who we brought? Lucien and Phoenix Queen Vasa. And we also brought Papa Archeron. And Papa Archeron brought a bunch of ships. And he named the biggest three after his daughters. And he's riding on the Nesta.
Aww, the lead ship.
I was like, that's cute. Mm-hmm. A little late, but, you know, he's got the spirit.
Yeah. So Amarin and Ferris are on their way, and they're, like, hiding behind a rock when they see the king just, like, walk up to the weaver and snap her neck. Which, like, how is he able to do
Insane.
That? Insane. How the fuck can
he do that?
I don't
He
know.
Does it. Well, Ferris, like, maybe he snaps her neck, and then Ferris, like, I don't think that would have killed her, but then he throws her down to his hounds.
Well, sure.
And then his hounds like eat her up.
That doesn't explain anything. Like, why is he able to do that?
I don't know. I think he's just really fast. He's incredibly fast and strong.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know. He just does it.
It's sad. Maybe she's like, my dear brother is dead.
I guess.
And now I'm sad.
Who was like scared of her.
My dear brother, who I did not know was still alive until just now.
Because he was literally hiding from me in prison. Right? Like she had a nice cottage. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, they get to the cauldron. And for some reason, Feyre thinks that Amarin has like ostensibly betrayed them. And I'm still not sure why on this like second reading. I didn't understand the first time why she's immediately like, Amarin betrayed us. Like, I don't know what Amarin does.
Amarin doesn't touch the cauldron. Like they're all supposed to touch the cauldron together and start doing the spell, and then Feyre touches it and gets like stuck to it, and Amarin is like, nah, I'm good. And then Feyre gets sucked into the cauldron, and we have our little like TV Zoom time with Feyre. Let's catch up with the rest of the gang, and we get a little like drive by of all these different scenes going on in the battle. And that's when we see Draken and Miriam fighting for some reason. Like, they're still losing, and Miriam and Draken are just wasting time fighting Jurian for no fucking reason. Also, the fact that it takes both of them to fight Jurian, like, both of them are fighting Jurian. This man Jurian's who is a human. Like, he came back to life, but he's still a human. And these are, like, immortal beings.
Well, he's immortal now, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he's still human. I have no idea. Like, it's very bold.
You're sure this happens during this scene?
Yes.
That's a lot of audacity.
They do it. But yeah, so Farron's hanging out. She goes to see what's going on with Nesta. And Hybern pops up and he's like, there you are, Nesta. And Nesta has really bad aim, I guess. Because, like, she like zaps her power at him, but it like misses or something. I don't know. I kind of miss that. He's also holding Papa Archeron like hostage, so that as like a human shield. And then Papa Archeron apologizes to Nesta. He's like, sorry, I was such a shit father in every possible way. And then Hybern snaps his neck, which is very traumatic,
right? Out of
for
nowhere.
Everyone involved.
Yeah, I don't know why he does that.
I think that's why Nesta
loses his shield. That's why Nesta was.
Or no, don't know, that like drains her of her power. And then Cassian.
Oh, no. She pretends to, I thought she pretends to be drained because Farrah's like, oh no, like her life
gone
out. She
loses heart and then Cassian starts fighting. And then when she sees like Cassian about to go down, she like runs up to like throw herself over him. And then she pretends that she's like out of power to like draw Hybern closer. And then she like zaps him with like the rest of her power because she used most of it that time that she missed.
Absolutely. And then Elaine walks up and truly in the shock of it, like no one saw this coming. She uses the fucking knife to stab
emotional
him.
Support sword.
Which, like, I don't know this. I mean, sure, I guess I can, like, suspend disbelief and think that Elaine could, like, sneak up on him. But, like, this is, like, at least the element of surprise. Like, how is the king, like, constantly snapping people's necks? Like, literally walking right up to them and just casually snapping their necks so fast. I don't know.
I
just don't know how you did it to the Weaver, who's able to, like, you know, obliterate hundreds of soldiers at a time.
Yeah, I don't. The King of Hybern is just so, like, I feel like we just, like, never really get a full understanding. Like, we're supposed to believe his power, his, like, he's so dangerous because he has his little spell book, but, like, he's doing all these things that are not spell book related.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he used the spells to give himself, like, to
make himself incredibly fast and strong. He actually, he summoned Carlisle Cullen from a different universe and got him to change all of his.
He's a Twilight vampire / fairy / angel.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, Elaine stabs Hybern in the neck. And honestly, good for you, Elaine. I can support this. First thing.
Can we just say that Elaine has like zero trauma about this afterward? Like, because she literally is so good at like dehumanizing. And not, she is a true psychopath. She does not, you know what I mean? Like, no humanity.
She feels nothing for no one but herself.
Exactly.
And Nesta finishes the job by chopping off his head. And Nesta chops off his head by, like, twisting the knife until, like, his head pops off, which, honestly, iconic. And Feyre and the Cauldron are hanging out there. And the Cauldron came over here because he wanted to, like, kill Nesta and, like, take back its power. But then it's like, oh, my God, my best friend Elaine loves Nesta. I can't kill Nesta because my best friend Elaine...
Because Elaine likes her. Yeah, because she's so lovely, TM. Yeah, like, what? And also, yeah, inconsistent with the whole stealing Elaine
thing. Why did you kidnap Elaine? Well, maybe because the Cauldron doesn't have, like, a sense of, like, Hybern bad, other people good. The Cauldron is like, these are all plebs. So, like, it doesn't have the idea of, like, I'm kidnapping Elaine.
To something bad. It's just I'm taking her away from Nesta.
Yeah.
And Nesta is bad. Okay.
Yes.
Because Nesta, like, stole from me. But it gave Elaine a gift. Like, it's so, like, yeah, I just, what is, Elaine is really giving, like, if she was a Twilight vampire, it would be, like, Renee, who, like,
oh my God.
You know.
She's an emotional vampire.
She can, like, control people with her, you know what I mean? Like, they just, like, want to help her because her thoughts are screaming so loud for no other reason.
I need evidence. Like, I keep getting these pangs of, like, is it internalized misogyny that makes me hate Elaine so much? But it's not. It's just, she's a fake hoe. And that's what those are the characters I don't like. I can't respect the characters that are fake hoes. And, like, that we just get told they're like this, but you never see anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's internalized misogyny. She's not even, like,
well, that's what a lot of people's argument, because a lot of people are like, people don't like Elaine because she's just feminine and soft and she gardens and she's kind and she's not, like, this badass, like, female warrior. I'm like, no, I don't like her because she sucks and has no loyalty.
Yeah, I don't understand. That's silly. Because, yeah, it's fine to garden. It's like, why are you gardening? Why are you growing, like, inedible flowers? For your starving family. There's also some line earlier on, Farrah's like thinking, I think when they're like, realize Elaine's been kidnapped, and she's like, oh my God, like, and you know, Elaine is so sweet. Like, she, you know, back when we didn't have any money for food, and I was earning all our money, and I wouldn't spend anything on myself on, like, frivolous things, but Elaine would spend my money that I risked my life to get on buying me a paint set. Isn't she sweet? Like,
and I mean, listen, that, like, that is nice, but yeah, once again, like, you guys are starving, and you didn't earn that money, Elaine.
Right. It's like she's right.
Like it'd be one thing if it was like that whole, if it was like that, that like story where like the woman cuts off her hair to buy her husband a watch chain and the husband like sells his watch to like buy his wife a comb for her hair. And like the lesson is that they just both love each right. other.
You know, I told someone that story the other day and they had never heard it.
That's insane. Do you know how I first heard that story? In the fourth grade.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure in
my
school.
Fourth grade teacher. No, but yeah. It was specific to me because I was a big reader. And my fourth grade teacher, like sometime around Christmas, was like, I think like, here's this book that I think you'll like of these like stories. And it was like that story and like some other stuff, like Christmas Carol.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
But it was just for me. It wasn't for anyone else. Like she was just like, I think you'll like this. It's like a little like, you're a reader.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I had teachers do that. The worst one was in like sixth or seventh grade. So like I was like 11 or 12.
The lottery.
Like 11. No, that was required reading. Awful. No, it was like I was like 11 and my teacher was like, you should read this book, like it's so good, you'll love it. And it was, yeah, I'm blanking on the name now, but the plot is like this girl gets raped and then is really depressed for the rest of high school.
Oh,
and tries to
Kristen
kill herself.
Stewart was in the movie. It's like, yes. Called like Silent or something.
Oh god, what is it called? I Stitch or yeah, it's like, but anyway, I did not love it. I was like, what the fuck?
Speak.
Like
speak is the name.
Yeah, like I don't know, maybe thinking back, maybe that would have been appropriate for your average 11-year-old. Maybe I was just like behind, but it took me so long to even realize that she had been raped. I was like, what is wrong with her?
Exactly.
Like this, I can tell from the vibes, is really uncomfortable and like awful, and I'm traumatized, but I don't really know why.
It definitely was a why, because I read that in middle school. I read that in like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And it was like from my middle school like reading teacher's library.
Yeah,
like
same. But
library.
She was specifically, yeah, I'm pretty sure same. But she was specifically like, you'll like this book. Like,
insane. I mean, it did just look it up. It did win like children's literature awards.
That's true. I don't know. I was just like, this just seems really traumatic.
It's by the same author that wrote that book. It's like Fever 1793 or something.
Oh, really?
About like yellow and fever. Laurie Hulse Anderson.
She wrote a bunch of stuff. Oh, I did fuck
yeah.
with that one. Fever 1793 or whatever. Was that really hit? I should reread that. I don't remember much about it, but it was
yeah,
really great.
She wrote a shit ton.
Yeah.
Winter
it's not
World.
A knock to the author. I'm sure it's like a fine book. It just what else? She wrote something else really famous, but like she looks exactly like I
how
she
you
looks
would
exactly
picture she
like,
looks. She looks like an English
yeah,
teacher or like an English
that's
professor.
Rare. English teacher. She looks like Phoebe Buffay when she has blonde hair.
Okay. Like Laurie Hulse Anderson should embrace her true form of Phoebe Buffay, Amryn decides to embrace her true form of a biblical angel, basically. And she like jumps into the cauldron to take a little bath and she's like, I'm gonna kill everyone. But also for some reason that means that I'm gonna die. Like, for some reason, transforming back into her true form also kills her. I don't know why.
Okay, yeah, because, like, it uses up all her power or something?
I don't know, but she goes ham on the battlefield, and she just, like, wipes everybody out. Trail of destruction. And then, yeah, and then she just, like, pitters out. I was like, I could understand if this meant that, like, she couldn't go back to her, like, fae form. Like, the fae form has to die. But why does her just going back to her true self kill her? I do not understand.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. None of this makes any sense because, like, self-sacrifice TM.
Except
unclear.
That it's not actually because nobody dies. Nobody dies. A lot of people fake die. So Amryn does that.
Yeah.
And then Rhys comes up to help Feyre, like, destroy the cauldron, and they're like destroying it, and he's like, I love you. And then I mean, not destroy the cauldron, they can't destroy the cauldron because they destroy the cauldron, and then they're like, oopsie, destroyed the cauldron, destroys the world, we have to put it back together. So
right.
They put it back together, and Rhys and somebody has to die, which we learned from the serial, to like put the cauldron back together. And Rhys Evoy sacrifices himself. The Suriel told her that.
He told her that if Feyre did it by herself to destroy it, it would kill her. But that's why they were going to do it with, like, four of them, which is still unclear why they don't. Like, why can't Nesta and Elaine help? I don't know.
Maybe because Feyre and Rhys are so drained. They're both like dregs of their power. So like they got to take everything.
Right. And yeah. And then like, so yeah, Rhys like dies, TM. And Feyre is again shocked. She's like, I didn't realize his power was so drained. And I was like, really? Like, you're so, like, no one ever thinks that anyone's spying on them. No one ever thinks that Rhys is going to self-sacrifice, despite all evidence to the contrary. Like, his mom's always on this self-sacrificing bullshit. Like, there's two things that are true. Bear is going to find this fucking cereal, and Rhys is going to self-sacrifice. She's like, oh my God, he had his shields up. I didn't know. But, like, you knew that he was drained. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
It's so silly. It's so silly. But she immediately is like, hey, use the cheat code to bring people back to life.
Right. And like all the High Lords gather. She like bullies them to doing it. And like they could really be doing this for anyone. Like Rhys doesn't even take their power the way that Feyre does.
Yes. Why doesn't he? This is what I would like to know. So I had two questions. First, I was like, is there like a new High Lord? And then I remembered that Feyre is High Lady.
Right. This is the first time, like first and only time she ever does something like actually, you know, proving that she has that means that title means
the
anything.
Magic would not need to automatically go to someone else because like she's already High Lady, so I guess she gets all of the juice temporary. That's what I'm saying, because it's because we know that it's instantaneous from when like Rhys and Tamlin are talking about when they became High Lord. So like, and so at first I was like, wait, did some like random pleb in like one of the children of Valaris like suddenly like power up only or, like, to get it like zapped like out someone, of them? But be, like, no, because she's the High Lady. So it didn't. It didn't reassign.
So, that actually,
because,
so it actually worked. So that's like the first evidence we get that that yeah. being anything other than like Rhys saying like, yeah, Rhys like, yeah, blathering.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, I was like, why doesn't he get some of their power? Because he specifically is like, don't worry, guys. Ha, ha, ha. Like, when he comes back to life. Right. I didn't take any of your power.
Right.
I'm
and like,
why?
That would have been a really smart limit of Sarah to, I mean, that was, like, a smart limit of her to put on it. Because, like, that would answer the question, like, why can't they be doing this left and right for, like, anyone
yeah,
who dies?
Yeah, right and center.
Because if they lose some of their power every time, like, and eventually they would lose it all and be dead. So that makes sense why they would, like, want to conserve it. But apparently that's not true.
They were like,
they
we
do,
can't kill Rhys.
They are like, it's different because they're like, it was different for you, Pharaoh, because you were human. Like when they're trying to get out of doing it for Rhys originally.
Yeah. But she bullies them all into doing it. And there's no consequences whatsoever at all. And guess what? Because no one's allowed to die, Amarin comes back too. Rhys is
right.
like, hey, I brought someone else back with me.
Right. Like unclear. Yeah, I don't, maybe she meant like, yeah, I don't know, unclear how she came back, but also like maybe originally she meant metaphorically die because she was just gonna like be
no,
gone.
No, because it
them.
Was the and same thing as, I mean, what happens with Rhys too is that Feyre is like holding on to like the scraps of the mating bond to like stop him from leaving totally
she
or
can't
whatever.
Feel it at all.
But she like grabs hold, she's like, I'm grabbing hold of like all the like the tidbits that are left. But what Rhys said, Rhys is like, I guess was at the gates of heaven and like I saw Amarin and then like you guys were bringing me back to life and I was like, Amarin, want to come too? And so Amarin came too and went back into her fairy body that was just in the bathtub cauldron this whole time.
So
like
silly.
So nobody can die. And listen, like I do appreciate that Sarah is not someone that just kills off all of her characters. Like, I appreciate that she is like, no, I want my books to have happy endings. And that means that no major character can die ever. But I feel like Amarin would have been a good character to just kill off.
Or like have disappear into the ether, you know, like go back to where she came from.
Like, I feel
back
like that would
like
have been
home planet or whatever.
An okay sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, nobody died? Really? We're going to bring everyone back to life?
I guess she needed her for her, like, Nesta arc.
But, like, did she? Yeah. So anyway, they're good. Tampon gives his magic power to bring Rhys back to life. And he's
and
like, be happy,
Feyre.
And I was like, aw. You are still an abusive piece of shit. But, like, that's sad.
He's getting his arc, yeah. Oh, and the more coming out thing made me remember that apparently that we're not getting a Rhys and Aerys more set up, which is sad also. I was looking forward to that.
A what?
I remember earlier in this book when Aries was like around, and I was like, oh yeah, like they're so hardcore alluding to him like having pulled a Reese this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Even though no one can see it coming. And I was like thinking, I was like, maybe I was thinking this. But I think I was thinking like, oh, maybe him and Mort, like I want that to happen. Like that would be a good,
Oh,
like,
no.
after all these years, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like he's like, there was more things at play than like what you know, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't
That
know.
seemed that it was more things at play than what Moore knew, too.
Well, right. That's what I
So,
mean.
like, it couldn't have been. I mean, I still think we're getting the Eris redemption arc.
Yeah. What do you mean? It couldn't have been what?
So it couldn't have been more sexuality because
Oh, that's not, no,
Eris
that's not what
wouldn't
I
know.
thought. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm saying like there he had like reasons for not helping her or whatever, like, or I don't know. And like so there could have been like something forgivable and yeah.
I mean, I thought it was obvious. Like he can't take her because if he does, then it's like he has to take responsibility of her. Like it that's just
Yeah, I don't know. Or like why
I
he's
don't
such an
know.
asshole. I don't know.
Because he was doing the same. Yeah,
Because he
anyway.
said that, but then he also said like other stuff. I don't know.
And yeah, I don't know. Then they do kind of like all the High Lords and then the humans get together. Then they do pseudo peace talks and then they don't really resolve anything. They're like, okay, bye. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. On the side, they decide to send the cauldron back to Miriam and Draken's secret island.
Yeah.
Which, like,
Secret tunnel.
no.
Secret tunnel.
Which seems like they could have found somewhere else to, like, I don't know. If I was them, I'd be like, I don't really want this on my islands. Like, this just seems unnecessarily risky. Like, concoct some other secret. Like, you could just, like, make another place that has these wards and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Where
But
was the cauldron before?
wherever the King of Hybern found it,
Yeah, but like where, you know?
no one knows. Only he knows, and he's been
Who
decapitated.
knows? And he's fucking dead. They should
Yeah.
have brought him back from Faerie heaven to like just ask him those
Right.
questions
Well, they
since
could be bringing back anyone. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You think there's like a time window and like someone has to be
I
holding on to
guess,
you?
yeah.
It's like if I was one of those many, many soldiers, I'd be really fucking pissed.
One of the soldiers that drowned on dry land.
Right.
What about me?
I know.
Yeah,
Anyway.
so they get back to Velaris, and what do they hear, Rachel?
The sound of children laughing.
Yes.
Oh, also Amarin. So Amarin doesn't have her power anymore. Like she's just a normal fairy now, which I hate. Like, why does Sarah keep doing this trope of like women having to like give up their power to like
Every single
whatever?
time. Every single
Not
time.
Vera, at least.
Right, except for the fact that like Feyre in Akamath, it's like established that like Feyre has this like untapped, like crazy power potential, and she just never really uses it.
Yeah, she
Like
doesn't have to give it up.
all the stuff is like,
At least she gets to keep it on like Amarin and later Nesta.
but it's like Sarah forgot that she had it.
Yeah, well, just like she forgot about Mor's power being truth.
No, she didn't forget about that. She just didn't decide what that means yet. She's just cryptically referring
Yeah,
to it.
keep us guessing. She
No.
has to be doing it for the bit at this point.
It's gotta be.
And Nesta's like really upset and like won't come down or
She's
whatever.
traumatized.
Elaine's like, should we help her? And Vera's like, not right now. Like, whatever. Like, no one gives a fuck about Nesta. Elaine
They're
is
like,
like,
why is Nesta acting so weird? This is a happy time. Like, ugh, you're such a spoil sport. Every party has a pooper. That's why we
but
invited
we
you,
invited you, but
Nesta
Patsy Poop.
Like,
God.
okay, Nesta just saw her father like murdered in front of her and like.
Had to kill someone, which apparently doesn't affect you, Elaine. That's what I'm saying. Like, Farrah is like,
Well, because
yeah.
technically Elaine didn't kill him. Technically,
Oh
he
my
wasn't
God.
dead.
Still, she stabbed, whatever. Please stop using that voice. Anyway, and then we get this random pointless Reese POV. Like, really, really pointless. What was the point of this?
I don't know. He just like he's like my brothers, and then he puts his arms around
And he's also
Ezra and
like, he
Cassian.
also is at one point, he's like, those human queens, they're sure to be a problem. And like, I have to give it to Sarah for her commitment to like acting like the humans are any kind of threat. Like, I just can't take it seriously. Like, right? Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Mean, apparently Papa Archeron's like
That's true.
Armada did actually
apparently,
do shit.
Humans can do spells sometimes, like they don't require your own which is pretty cool, and like Untapped also.
I feel like we've got to see that. I feel like we've got to see. Jurian and Vasa are definitely not done. Like, they're definitely going to have, like, bigger roles, I feel like, in future books. And I feel like then we're going to get more, like, of the human.
Sure.
Last thing is that Feyre and Rhys decide to be like, we'll never die
without
each other.
They make a suicide pact. They make a literal bargain that they will die with each other.
They make a suicide pact. Suicide bargain.
I'd be like, there's absolutely no way this could bite us in the ass later.
Does it ever, though? Yeah. Does it bite them?
In the
baby thing? Okay.
Yes, because they all would have been dead and there would have been no High Lord or Highland. Like, what happens? The Night Court is in shambles.
Well, I mean, like, that's not even backfiring. That's not even backfiring. It's like acting as intended.
Right. Okay.
Like, the intent is stupid. Okay. Yeah. The end.
They're just like, the solution is just to live forever.
Which apparently they are. They're ostensibly immortal.
Even though
so.
I would just like, I wouldn't know. What I would like to say is that Feyre is now shortening her life by 500 years.
Right. Basically. Yeah. Right. Oh, what we skipped over is like when Mor is like telling Feyre she likes girls, she's like, yeah, my one true love was one of the human queens, actually the golden queen's ancestor. And I was so in love with her, but then like I had to leave for 3 years. And like in that time she married a man, like, and then I mourned her for 80 years or whatever. And she's
the
like,
wall went up. That's why she's like, I regretted it. But then the wall went up and I couldn't tell her.
Like,
and then
60 years like, would have been better than nothing. But like, I don't know. It just seems so ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I ran about this every time, but just like the human fae thing. Luckily, it seems like for any of the important people, when they fall in love with a human, the human gets made immortal. But like, yeah. That has never happened for like a man. Like, you know what I mean? What do you want to bet if it does happen to Mor, like that person won't get made immortal? Like, Sarah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the girl's having to get something up. Anyway. All right, Allison. Where can they find us? Catscale. Right.
Got a lot of cat. We got a lot of like house cat references, like cat jingling with a bell on its collar, which is funny that like that's a part of this fantasy universe. Like, Feyre.
Yeah, they have cats.
I mean, that Sarah needed to specify that people have house cats and put little bells on their collars in this fantasy universe.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And it's popular enough that Feyre can make a reference to it.
Yes. And we have like Amryn purring. We have.
Yeah, but Amryn basically like loses her cat form.
Mm-hmm. That's really sad. We also have lots of hounds. Does she lose her cat form?
I just feel like she's not as like.
So
spicy.
I'm sorry. When Amryn turns. I don't know. When Amryn.
She doesn't
drink
blood anymore.
That's true. Neither do cats, just to be clear. Also, when Amryn turns into her like true form TM, it has wings and stuff. Like, it's not even a cat.
She's a biblical angel. Just like vampires. Well, just like right. Stephanie Meyer's vampires are supposed to be
Mormon
biblical
angels. Mormon angel, not biblical angel.
Sorry.
Yeah, but like it has wings. It's not, I don't know. Which biblical angels don't. So unclear what she really is supposed to be. I don't know. Or maybe some classes do. I don't know. Anyway, 3, 2.
Oh, shit. 1.
9.
8.
7.
8.6.
5.
What?
4. 3.
8.5.
Team Rocket is blasting off again.
Team Rocket blasting off again.
Hey, Allison. Where can they find us?
Why did you just pause?
I didn't.
Am I expected to say, hey, Rachel, back?
No,
is that what you're
I
waiting
didn't,
for?
I didn't
Do I disappoint
pause.
You?
I didn't. I said, hey, Allison, where can they find us?
Oh, see, on my end, it was like, hey, Allison, 1, 2, 3, where can they find us? And I was like, was she expecting a response? Did I fail?
Call and response. No.
Apologies. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at @WeReaditOneNight, on Twitter at @WeReaditPodcast. You can email us WeReaditOneNight@gmail.com. You can leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right this very second, and you can especially leave us a 5-star review. You can also even put a listener suggestion in that review if you're so inclined. And then you can check out our Etsy shop and our Patreon pages, which is linked in the description of this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Godspeed, comrades.
Godspeed.